I want that done before I leave from here, the deputy told the prisoner. I mean that, you hear? The prisoner, 15 or 16 years old, bowed his head and left. I come to see my boy, Jefferson, Miss Emma told the deputy behind the desk. What you got there? He asked her. Just some food, some clean clothes for him, Miss Emma said. Paul, the old man said. The deputy who stood beside the desk came toward us. How's he been? Miss Emma asked the deputy in charge. Quiet, the deputy said. Yes, sir, Miss Emma said. The deputy grinned. Jefferson's been quiet, Paul, the young deputy, told Miss Emma. Thank you, sir, Miss Emma said to him. The deputy went through the basket of food, fried chicken, bread, baked sweet potatoes, tea cakes. Then he went through the handbag of clothes. There was a pair of old blue jeans, an old overwashed brown shirt, a pair of long johns, and two pairs of my socks, which my aunt had given Miss Emma for Jefferson. Empty your pockets, he said to me. I had nothing but a wallet, a handkerchief, and some loose change. I had left my keys in the car. I laid the things on the desk. Is that it? The deputy asked me. He had brown hair and gray-blue eyes, and he appeared to be a couple of years younger than I was. He looked pretty decent. The one behind the desk didn't look decent at all. His eyes were the color of cement. He had a big neck and a fleshy face. He was much older and much heavier than Paul. Paul patted me down to see if I had taken everything out of my pockets. Then he told me that I could put my things back. Sheriff explained everything to y'all, chief deputy asked us. Sir? Miss Emma said. The chief deputy could see that I didn't like him, and I could tell he didn't like me. But he knew who was in charge, and that I would have to take anything he dished out. No knives, no forks, no plates. Pans, he said to Miss Emma. That was after he had looked at me a long time to let me know what he thought of me. No hat pins, no pocket knives, no razor blades, no ice picks, he said, looking at me again. Jefferson won't never do nothing like that, Miss Emma said. You can't ever tell, the deputy said. Take them on up, Paul. Follow me, the young deputy said. We followed him down a long, dark corridor, passing offices with open doors and bathrooms for white ladies and white men. At the end of the corridor, we had to go up a set of stairs. The stairs were made of steel. There were six steps, then a landing, a sharp turn, and another six steps. Then we went through a heavy steel door to the area where the prisoners were quartered. The white prisoners were also on this floor, but in a separate section. I counted eight cells for black prisoners, with two bunks to each cell. Half of the cells were empty. The others had one or two prisoners. They reached their hands out between the bars and asked for cigarettes or money. Miss Emma stopped to talk to them. She told them she didn't have any money, but she had brought some food for Jefferson, and if there was anything left, she would give it to them. They asked me for money, and I gave them the change I had. There was an empty cell between Jefferson and the rest of the prisoners. He was at the end of the cell block and was lying on his bunk when we came up. The deputy unlocked the door for us, and Miss Emma and I went in. The deputy told us that he would have to lock us in and that he would return within an hour. Miss Emma thanked him, and he locked the door and left. Jefferson still lay on his bunk, staring up at the ceiling. He didn't look at us once.
How you feel, Jefferson?
Miss Emma asked him. He didn't answer and kept his eyes on the ceiling. The cell was roughly 6 by 10, with a metal bunk covered by a thin mattress and a woolen army blanket, a toilet without seat or toilet paper, a wash bowl, brownish from residue and grime, a small metal shelf upon which was a pan, a tin cup, and a tablespoon. A single light bulb hung over the center of the cell, and at the end opposite the door was a barred window, which looked out onto a sycamore tree behind the courthouse. I could see the sunlight on the upper leaves. But the window was too high to catch sight of any other buildings or the ground.